listening to the IELTS podcast. Learn from tutors and ex-examiners who are masters of IELTS preparation. Your host, Ben Worthington.
Hello there, IELTS students. In this tutorial, we are looking at recent IELTS writing test 2 questions seen by some of our students taking the exam, and other questions have been seen around online, posted by other students on other sites. And we're going to look at the questions, and then I'm going to give you sample answers. And in the process of giving you sample answers, you'll have an insight into, you know, how to construct your own ideas and your own essays. Now, this has become quick and automatic for me, because when I started out teaching IELTS, I interviewed hundreds of experts, ex-IELTS examiners, pronunciation professionals, everyone I could find, because I was lost. I was really lost teaching IELTS. I interviewed so many people, and one of the pieces of advice is that it was just write essay after essay. So I gave it a shot. And while I was writing like my 50th essay, I realized that if I followed this framework I kind of stumbled across, it became quick and automatic. And this is the exact framework, or part of the framework, that we teach in our online course. So if you want this ability just to, you know, generate ideas on the fly, and, you know, that easily drop into a framework for the essay writing, then have a look at our online courses. So let's have a look. One of the questions we found is, in many workplaces, online communication is becoming more commonplace than face-to-face meetings. To what extent do you agree or disagree with this statement? So it's one of those lovely or beloved questions, beloved questions by the millions of IELTS students across the world. To what extent? Well, to what extent? It's asking me, like, to what degree do I agree? You know, how far do I agree? How much do I agree? Well, I strongly agree that online communication is becoming more commonplace than face-to-face meetings, okay? So I'm going to say, yes, I strongly agree. And then in body paragraph one, which is after the introduction, I have to develop it. So why do I agree? It's becoming more commonplace because, one, we've recently had a pandemic which forced companies to go remote, forced them to go online. Two, the pandemic also made it unsafe for face-to-face meetings. And then I develop those a little bit further, give some examples, and that's enough for body paragraph one. For body paragraph two, I'd say, yeah, there's also even more reasons why they are becoming more commonplace. I wouldn't use the exact wording, but I'd use something similar. And I'd say that it's becoming more frequent, they're becoming more prevalent than face-to-face meetings, because also, if a company pushes meetings online, there's lots of advantages, such as no travel costs. No travel costs for their employees, so they don't have to commute. Also, there's no travel costs if an office in Bangalore wants to have a meeting with an office in New York. They can schedule it, and there is zero travel requirements for the officers involved, and this is also better for the environment. And then maybe I could just develop that point a little bit further by talking about the pollution or whatever. And then in my conclusion, boom, I just say yes, I strongly agree that it is becoming more prevalent due to the numerous advantages. These include the cost, the environment, the safety, and so on. Okay, and just sort of like a very, very brief summary of what I mentioned before. Straightforward. And just as a side note, I haven't really looked at these questions before. So some of you might be thinking, it's easy for him because he prepared. Well, I'll put my hands up. I did not prepare, other than somebody on the team just gave me the document and I was like, okay, I'm recording now, jumping straight into it. And Yeah, as I said, this skill just comes from years of doing these questions. Also, just having a system in place that makes it quick and automatic. And if you want a system like that, as I said, have a look at the online course. Let's move on to the next question. The increasing demand for oil and gas has made it necessary to look for these energy sources in remote and untouched natural places. Do you think the advantages of locating oil and gas in these areas outweigh the disadvantages of damaging these places? Okay, so body paragraph one, the advantages of locating oil and gas in these untouched natural places, as the initial sentence said. Body paragraph one, body paragraph two, the disadvantages of damaging these places. And then also outweigh, you know, so we've got to balance these. So in body paragraph one, okay, so there are many advantages of finding these oil and gas resources. The advantages of finding them in untouched natural places are that they are in abundance. Okay, because they're usually in abundance. What do I mean when I say they are in abundance? They are in abundance. They are found in vast, large quantities because they are literally remote. They've never been touched before, and as it says, untouched natural places. So the Arctic, for example, there is millions and millions and millions of gallons and cubic meters of gas in the Arctic, apparently. Okay, so the advantages of finding these is that there is resources in abundance. There is millions of liters, as I just mentioned. This, now I develop it, this can help bring down the cost of these resources and make energy cheaper, which could further stimulate the economy and create jobs. Okay, so it's a big advantage of finding the gas there. Also, it can generate employment in these areas where nobody's located. It can start to create some jobs in those places. Okay, now the disadvantages are that, obviously, we are destroying the world. We're accelerating climate change. Three, it can be incredibly dangerous, these remote places. For example, if we start drilling more frequently in the Arctic, it's a matter of time until there is an oil leak, because this usually happens over a long period of time and a long period of drilling, for example. Okay, so those are my two body paragraphs. One, the advantages, two, the disadvantages. Three, I'm going to say, three in my conclusion, which is probably paragraph number four, I will say, although it could help the economy, I think it's time to transition away from fossil fuels because of the risk for climate change, and also human activity, especially mining, drilling, and extraction of resources, has destroyed an unfathomable amount of the earth already. Rather than looking for new resources, rather than looking for new sources, we should develop new technologies. Okay, that would be a rough conclusion. I probably might not mention new technology, but that's a rough conclusion on the fly, so to speak. Okay, and I think the real skill here is kind of like generating ideas and then organizing them in a way that you can build your paragraphs around them. And when I'm trying to think of my ideas and thinking, okay, that's got to be in body paragraph one, that's got to be in body paragraph two, and then I'm going to develop it with this example, you see? It's not always systematic, you know, the brain isn't a machine. Sometimes you'll get your conclusion first and then you work backwards. But with our system, even if you do have an explosion of ideas, when you follow the system, you can just drop them into your body paragraph and it will, you know, write a strong, coherent paragraph. So let's go. Some people think it is better Some people think it is a better way to leave their home and country to improve their work and living opportunities, while others think staying in their own country is a better choice. Discuss both views and give your own opinion. Now, as you know, I've lived outside of the UK, my home country, for the last 20 years. I've been thinking about this question a lot recently. Like, would I have been better just staying in Manchester, working there, rather than bouncing around to different countries around the world? However, I'm not going to talk about myself in this task two essay. That would be a fatal mistake. And, you know, I'm going on 10 years now looking at IELTS essays, and I still see students writing about their Uncle Dave who left the country to study abroad or whatever. We cannot write essays like that. So anyway, let's jump into it. Discuss both views and give your opinion. Both views. Which are the both views? View number one is it's better to leave your country to study abroad, work abroad, to improve your career, basically, your work and living opportunities. Okay, that's viewpoint number one, which will obviously be body paragraph number one. Body paragraph number two is going to be staying in your own country is a better choice. Okay, now what happens here with a lot of students is that they can look at both the positives and the negatives of studying abroad. And by doing that, by studying abroad and by working abroad, looking at the positives and the negatives of that first viewpoint, they are shooting themselves in the foot, because then when you go on to talking about the pros and the cons of staying in your own country, you're basically writing the same essay. You're writing the same paragraph as you've just written. So this is why. And another way to trip yourself up is just writing about all the pros of going abroad, and then if you write about all the disadvantages of staying in your own country, again you're writing the same essay. So the trick here is just to pick one viewpoint for both. This is going to be tricky. The trick here is to pick one side, the same side, for both of the views. Okay, so we're going to look at the advantages of going abroad, and then we're going to look at the advantages for staying in your own country. Yeah, if we look at the advantages and disadvantages of going abroad, and then the advantages and disadvantages of staying in your own country, you're writing the same essay. And likewise, if you did the advantages of studying abroad and the disadvantages of staying in your own country, you're writing the same material in both paragraphs. And this is why it's so incredible, so frustrating, these questions. So as I said, let's have a look at the pros of going abroad. New culture, new skills, new network, new people, and maybe more up-to-date ways of working. Okay? For example, and then I develop it. So I just gave a few points. Each of those could easily be developed, and I just decided to develop the last one. That's usually how we construct a body paragraph. Body paragraph number two: advantages of staying in your own country. One, compounding relationships. So the longer you have a relationship with somebody, the stronger it gets. Yeah, rather than just starting from zero, which you would have to do in a new country. Number two, advantages of staying in your own country. There is no learning curve for when you for staying there. You know where everything is in the city. You know who everybody is. You can know which people to trust. So there's no learning curve there, and it saves time. It could be more efficient. Yeah. Another advantage is it keeps costs low, because there's no traveling involved, which can be very advantageous, especially when you're starting out in your new career. Okay, there we go. So I've now discussed both views. I've looked briefly mainly at the advantages. I might have mentioned the disadvantages of staying in your, no, I looked at the advantages of staying in your own country, and I looked at the advantages of going abroad. Okay, now in my conclusion, I'm going to give my opinion, which might be something like, I'm going to take the easy way. I'm going to say it depends. I'll say something like, going abroad has lots of advantages, should definitely be pursued. However, having a home base with a trusted network is also invaluable. I think for optimum results, a student or a worker could pursue both by just spending a few months abroad each year. You know, so it's kind of like easy answer, do both. And I've looked at both views, and that's my own opinion. You know, if I was going back again, I'd probably settle down in England and then just spend every summer abroad, for example, rather than spending a whole 20 years outside of my home country. Okay, obviously, I would not write it as me personally and talk about my experiences. What I would do is just say, a candidate would probably, or a worker would probably get the best of both worlds by establishing a home base and where they stay the majority of the year and spending a few months abroad each year if the work permits it. Okay? Straightforward. All right, final question. Let's see. Okay. Although it is generally illegal, corporal punishment continues in many countries. Others argue that parents should have the right to punish a student in this way. Do you agree or disagree with this statement? Okay, so it's kind of tricky, this one, because there's kind of two statements there, two viewpoints. So what I'm going to say is, I'm just going to go with the modern kind of line. I've never really thought about this, because corporal punishment disappeared from England a long time ago. So let's see, parents should have the right to punish their children in this way. Do you agree? Okay, no, I'm just going to say I strongly disagree. The parents have the right to issue corporal punishment. I strongly disagree because, one, there's more modern ways of disciplining a child, such as sending them to a corner or getting them to write about what they just did, getting them to think through what they just did, or even just to limit the time on the toys that they like, such as the iPad. Okay. Furthermore, scientific studies have shown that corporal punishment is amongst the least effective measures a parent can take to correct behavior in their student, in their children. Okay, so just put an example, sort of like scientific, realistic example there. I don't know if it's true, but it definitely sounded true, and that's fine. So that's more or less my body paragraph number one taken care of. Now, body paragraph number two. I strongly disagree with parents having the right to punish their children because, one, it can result in psychological issues for the child later in life. Two, it's highly likely that the parent has zero knowledge of human anatomy and could actually harm the child for the rest of their life if they hit them too hard. For example, in a recent study, and there we go. I'm kind of taking the parent doesn't have the knowledge in the second body paragraph, and in the first paragraph, I'm talking about the alternatives. There we go. Straightforward. And as I said before, it's straightforward for me, because I kind of got a system, and I know, like, I need a couple of ideas for this one, a couple of ideas for this one, and I'm organizing the essay as I'm generating my ideas. And this is just one of the skills you will pick up when you join our online course, because we ask you to go through, practice this skill a lot, and we give you feedback on it as well. And it's relatively straightforward and easy to learn as well once you get the whole tutorial there. So that's it from me today. Thank you very much for joining us. And if you've got any further questions, just email me, ben@ieltspodcast.com, and come and join us at ieltspodcast.com. There you can get some feedback on your essays. We're getting some fantastic results, as always. And join our online course. And we'd love to get you to Canada, to Australia, to England, wherever it is you are intending to study. So have a super day and take care.
IELTSPodcast.com.